Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, 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 everybody. Greetings and welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor to serve as your hostess for the show tonight. Thank you for being with us, and we have one heck of a show scheduled for you tonight. And, you know, I get excited every week around Tuesday, man. When it be coming, I can't even sleep. I be getting up, you know, early in the morning because it's Tuesday. And the reason is that I have the honor of having the absolute best guests in the world that have agreed to share their expertise with you, the audience. And so this is no exception. I tell you, Ms. Candy Zeon got some stuff to share with us tonight. And so, look, you know, y'all know I get carried away sometimes. But before we get to that, before we get to the show, there's a couple of things that we always do to make sure that we're in alignment energetically with one another. So the very first thing we do is we give thanks to the ancestors. We give thanks that the ancestors are always with us, but especially on Tuesday nights as we approach and talk about subjects that are not ordinarily talked about in a open environment. They may be whispered about but not talked about. And so for that, we give thanks. And our ancestors, they have us. They got us the top, the bottom, the front, and the back. They're holding us up at all times. And for that, we are forever thankful. Thank you, ancestors. Ooh, we love you, we love you, we love you. Ah, shame. The next thing we do is take a piece, just a portion, of my daily inspirational message for the day. And this particular piece that I'm reading from is called The Plan. And it goes as such. So I pose the same question to you. What is your plan? Do you have a business plan that will guide you in getting to where it is you say you want to go or to a place you say you want to be? Do you fully embrace your plan? Can you easily recite it to anyone who asks you the infamous question, what are you doing these days? What is your vision for your life? How will you get there? Like the old saying goes, how do you eat an elephant? The answer is one bite at a time. Do you know what your elephant is? Plans to proceed one bite at a time. Set incremental steps to reaching your goals. Design your plan in truth and honesty. If this is your first time someone has even asked you this question, then good. I am glad I'm asking. I applaud you at the finish line. I will be there at the graduation ceremony. So that you can find if you're interested or if you would like to know what the complete message is, go to WordPress. I beg your pardon, RevSandy.wordpress.com. It's not like I haven't been doing this forever, right? But I get excited, you guys, when I have these excellent guests, and I want to rush through the process to get them on, but I'm going to slow up a little bit here. So if you would like to read the entire daily inspirational message, you may do so at revsandy.wordpress.com. There, I got it out. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight, our incredible guest is Miss Candy Zion. Candy actually made her debut on Life, Love, and Wellness about 3 years ago. It was July of 2020. And at that point, she was promoting her book, Hope for a Rainy Day, which was information and helpful knowledge and pointers for single mothers. And so to have her back tonight is really, really a treat. And she was here, like I said, 3 years ago this month. So it's like old hometown week, right? So thank you for being with us. But she's going to be talking to us about money and mindset. You know, a lot of times we don't reach our goals, just like that plan that I just read from. We don't reach our goals because we don't identify what those goals are. So Candy's going to come to us with all kind of helpful information and a plan. But before we get to that, audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion, and we welcome all comments. And our intention is that every voice that wants to be heard will be heard. And our call-in number here at the station is 516-531-9819. And when you call in, if you would like to speak live on air with us, you will need to press 1 on your device. Just because you call in does not automatically put you into the show. It just have you listening. So please just hit 1, and that way we'll know you want to speak live on air. Otherwise, you can just continue to listen. No harm, no. And to ensure the highest quality on our playbacks, because a lot of people go back and listen to the shows over and over, and some of our regulars do not stay up this late to listen. So once your line is open for your comment, if you're not speaking, if you would simply mute your phone, then that would prevent any background noises from interfering with the quality of the sound. To listen to any of the other broadcasts that we've done, even if you want to go back and listen to Candy's show back in July of 2020, all you would need to do would be to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's SandyRodgers. And you will be able to listen to any of the shows. This is actually our 9th year on air, so we have a ton of shows that should interest you. And thank you once again for being here. We're going to take a quick music break, and then when we come back, I'm going to bring Candy on and let her get us started on this money and mindset. We'll be right back, you guys.
I just want to pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. I don't want to tell you how to live. I just want to give what I have to give. Maybe it'll pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. Smiling faces, warm embraces, lovers walking hand in hand. Revolution is no solution. Tragedy of man, here's my plan. Hope I can pick somebody up. somebody up.
That was Raul Madone with Pick Somebody Up. And I played that because that's what Candy reminds me of, is she's always creating programs to lift people up to a higher level. That's what she did 3 years ago with her book, Hope for a Rainy Day, a guide and help for single mothers. And she comes with this time with a program, right? So let me read the show description, and then we're going to bring Miss Zion to the mic and have her to explain what she's doing and tell us a little bit more about herself. So Money and Mindset. Candy Zion comes with a workable plan that we may use to change that dreaded financial landscape that we just can't seem to get right. She will be shining a light on our cultural and behavioral beliefs about money that sabotage the abundance that we truly desire. So if you're tired of living in a feast-to-famine cycle, unorganized and losing sleep from not knowing if you will be able to meet your financial obligations, then this course is for you. Candy will teach you how to get focused, disciplined, and be consistent. And all of this is needed in order to get you the financial freedom that you desire. So she has an e-course, a one-on-one financial coaching program, assisting those interested in creating a vision for their financial future and freedom. So get your paper, get your ink pen, your pencil, whatever, on your phone. Take notes as we welcome Miss Candy Zion to the microphone. And welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for returning as a guest on Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show.
Miss Sandy, I thank you so much. I didn't realize that I was here in July on my last visit.
I know.
That's our month.
Obviously, right?
I always enjoy your conversations, whether we're on the phone or on the radio. You have been always truly a blessing and an inspiration to me as well. And I thank you for that intro, because that's truly my heart's desire, is to serve the heart of God by encouraging the hearts of his people. And that's what I seek to do.
That's beautiful. I love how you said that. And, you know, as when we come from that vantage point, you know, we're not coming forth causing and creating any problems. You know, we just want to pick somebody up, you know, just like,
right.
Let me help you. Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's so beautiful that that's your guiding light that you use to gauge the work that you're doing in the community. That's great. That's great. And she's a new grandma, y'all. So congratulations. I've been waiting to see
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that. That's just a whole different
Thank
world
you.
In itself. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It is. It's like everybody just like rolled into one. And I was just sitting in a rocking chair with her. And I was like, never in a thousand years I thought I'd be sitting in my living room in the rocking chair where my mom rocked me in in the 70s, rocking my own grandbaby.
Oh, how beautiful. It's special. That's all I can tell you. Just wait, girl. It gets more and more special every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You build that bond with them.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. So tell us about a little bit more about you, and tell us, tell the audience who you are. I know who you are.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Like you said, my name is Candy Zenon. I'm a life improvement coach, and I help single moms strengthen their faith, family, and finances through one-on-one coaching, books, mentorships, and live events. And I just try to talk about life and just helping them love through it, learn from it, and live after it. You know, I always try to have information, tips, tools, and techniques just to make life just a little bit better, just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. And, you know, you can't talk about life without talking about money. And that's how this conversation started coming up. Only, you know, and a teacher can only take you as far as they've been. And I realized a lot of things, a lot of times I'm speaking with someone, I notice a pattern. I learn through patterns. I know some people learn through visuals, some people learn through audio. I learn through patterns. And it was a pattern that was being repeated. They're wanting something on one hand, desiring something on one hand, but sabotaging it on the other. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, and that's why a coach is so great, because they could come and see your blind spots. They could come and see things that we're not emotionally attached to it, and we can observe what you're doing from the outside looking in and help you co-create a plan to get beyond where you are to where you desire to be. And I went through it myself. You know, it's a funny story when I start talking about the mindset and money, because the truth is our conversation about money was not always taught to us but caught. Our money habits, beliefs, customs, and actions stems from an environment from which we came. You know, every time I say that statement, I think about my mom in a rocking chair saying, "Lord have mercy."
Oh,
And, you know, we've heard other mantras, you know, like money just goes, there's never enough money, the rich just mm-hmm. keep getting richer, and we can't afford that. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so maybe that was true on one hand, but in the other hand, if we keep saying it about our own lives, is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? Mm-hmm. Because our destiny listens to our voice, and if we keep saying it and it keeps happening, and we keep saying what we have, but God keeps telling us to say, you know, say what we want. We look at our situation and we say what we have, but God is saying we can have what we say mm-hmm. because your destiny listens to your voice. So if we stop speaking against the thing, and that's number one, just stop speaking against your own destiny. Mm-hmm. Identify and change that needs to be changed, and change happens when change occurs. So once you identify the change needing to be had, okay, now where there's a problem, there's a solution. If there's a problem in the earth realm, there's a solution in the earth realm, and you just have to put the two together. And that's what I did with my Mindset and Money course. I put the solution, a process, a system in place that you can follow in order for you to make it habitual, because we're habitual in our own way right now, how we handle our money, how we thinking about money. There's a message about money that replays in our head every time we receive money, spend mm-hmm. money, or need money. Mm-hmm. And we want to expose those beliefs. You know, I have so many stories surrounding that, you know, just the fear of letting go, the fear of not enough. I came here during a hurricane. I was told to pack for 5 days. By the sixth day, I was declared homeless. And there was a man standing outside the Cajun Dome and said, "We'll send you anywhere in the world. Where would you like to go?" And mm-hmm. I said, "Atlanta." So after coming here, you know, thank God I had savings. Thank God I was in a position to transition. I had credit. I had rental history. I was able to be in a position to transition. But it left like a PTSD, you know. Mm. I was still, you know, I didn't want to let go because it was the what if factor. What if something right. happened? What if something happened? And so there's always a story surrounding our money, and if we identify what that story is, we can identify why we maneuver in the world like we do with our money, whether we're frugal, whether we feel that it's hard to come by, whatever the angst is that's surrounding it, we just can expose it right now. Expose mm-hmm. it, and if it's not seeking where you desire to be, change it.
So you get all down into the nitty gritty with a person about how they view money, or are you asking questions, or are you just kind of giving them some what if kind of scenarios, or?
It's so funny. It's all of the above, because I had a financial advisor take my course, and she said, "Oh, I thought this was just going to be just a little simple course telling me to cancel some subscriptions." She said, "But you get deep and down." She said, "I got to rethink some." one of my clients last night, we meet every Monday, and she was saying the exact same thing. She said, "Oh, I thought maybe half the stuff you was going to tell me, I already knew it anyway, but I was just, you know, go take the course." But she said, "You really get in depth with it." I was like, "I do," because you can prune, you know. Have you ever pruned your rose bushes or some type of bush in the wintertime or in the fall, and then when it came back in the springtime, it was huge.
Right.
And, you know, you probably thought you was chopping it down because it was too large the year before, but by you pruning the branches, it made it even larger. right? So, but if you want that thing gone, if you want that particular bush that's a nuisance in your front door and keep waving in front of your ring alarm, setting an alarm off, and you want it to, you want it to go, you sever it where?
At the root.
At the root. You better preach that. And I know you have your community garden, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
you got to sever that thing at the root. So in order to get to the problem of the matter, you have to go to the root of it. And what was that thing? So, yes, we do talk about the root of it. Where did you, like, funny story with me, I always knew when my mom had received her paycheck, because on payday, I would get my own two-piece box of Church's chicken. But when Spurs was a little scarce, a little tight, we would get one box of two pieces of chicken, and we would share it, right?
Okay.
And we would share, and she would make me eat the thigh meat, because she said the thigh meat would it's going to make me full, but I hated eating the thigh meat. Like, I wanted the leg, but she said the thigh was going to make me full. So fast forward to adulthood, I recall hearing my children ask me on payday one day. They was like, is this big check shopping day or little check shopping day?
Uh-oh.
Exactly. It hit me. I had continued the cycle of two-piece, one-piece.
Wow.
And I knew then that I had to break the cycle of feast and famine.
Mm.
And my first step with that was identifying change was needed. And how I broke it, I was truthful with them. The truth is I'm one parent, two payroll checks, and three children. The truth is the payroll check was the exact same amount each week, I mean each pay period.
Mm-hmm.
However, our priorities change per pay period. So what we're going to do now is write the things we want on a list. And when we decide that that's a priority, we're going to go to our list and we're going to purchase from our list. So now they no longer have that mindset of sometimes it's more, sometimes it's little. Sometimes I have to be in abundance and feast and make it rain, and sometimes I have to struggle. So they no longer had the mindset of feast and famine. Where it stopped, no one knows, right? So just identifying, and see, they downloaded that cycle from me. I downloaded it from my mom. And so that's why I go back to a lot of our habits and the beliefs about money comes from somebody. Do you think when I say that, do you think of something when I say the word money? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
What I heard all the time is money don't grow on trees. But as you get older, money do come off trees because it's paper.
Money is the tree.
And,
exactly.
And my mother, I think she, well, I know she didn't learn how to budget, you know, and really take care of business appropriately. So there was a lot of times when we had to, you know, she's not home, you know, you want to leave a message kind of thing, and she's standing right there in front of you, you know. So we were taught to make up these tales about her not being available or not being home. So those are the two most prominent things that I think of when you say money.
I love that, because identifying our money beliefs would empower us to take charge of our finances. That's number one. Then we put in systems in place to manage the income, restructure the outgo, and invest the extra. And I detail that in a free masterclass. If anybody's interested in that, that's on my Facebook. It's a link on my Facebook. It's a free masterclass where I detail how to implement those three shifts in your life, right? And so once we do that, we exchange those negative money mantras, like money don't grow on trees, or, you know, I'm not Carnegie Hall. Who you think I am, Carnegie Hall? You remember that one?
Yeah.
There's never enough money or something, and we exchange it for something like money comes to me easily and effortlessly. In the house of the righteous, there are many rooms of choice meats and oils. You know, the Lord will supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we have to exchange our conversation for that thing we desire. Like I said earlier, you know, we say what we have, but God is wanting us to say what we desire, that mm-hmm. thing we want to see, not necessarily what we're seeing. Close our eyes and hear the word of the Lord. What is he telling you? You know, he's telling you, I wish above all things that you would be well, you know, that you would prosper. So I want you to, you know, exchange that conversation for something that's going to benefit the future.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense, too, because a lot of things that we do by habit,
mm-hmm.
or conditioning, mm-hmm. learned behavior is not really for our good, you know, and I don't
mm-hmm.
mean that our those that were in authority over us
mm-hmm.
has deliberately done something to harm us or, you know, not given us their full attention, but they don't know sometimes either, and they're doing the best that we can, just like us. You know,
yeah, yeah,
doing
no
the
doubt.
Best that we can, yeah,
mm-hmm.
every day. But it's important for us to learn new ways of doing things and stop just because mom and them did it, you know.
Yes, because mama and them did it, like that story about the lady who kept cutting the two ends of the ham.
Yeah. That's my favorite right there.
And only to come to find out that grandmother pen was short, so she cut the two ends of the ham. So yes, and it's okay. You do what you know to do until you know better, and once you know better, you do better. And that's what I'm offering today. Just this conversation to just look at something just another way. Just identify. You know, if you have sabotaging money habits, are those habits serving you in this season? And if not, simply change it. That's it. But if
right.
they are serving you, there's nothing to change, and you just keep going the way that you're going because you're doing everything well, and that's okay. Each one teach one. So maybe
mm-hmm.
your sister next to you not doing well, don't teach her, you know, to do well, because there's a dignity in going to the register and knowing that you have what you need to buy what you need.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to say those, you know, chance to the ancestors or calling on, you know, Jehovah to make sure that card don't decline.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're going there knowing, you know, that we haven't counted the cost of war, that we haven't balanced our check, but we don't know our numbers, and we're just showing up and swiping our card until it say decline. You're like, oh, well, it's empty now. But you should have known that before you got there, because you
exactly.
should have been a good steward of what you work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's yours. So you should be the first person that's calculating it, counting it, giving it an assignment. Your money should have an assignment coming in and going out. You shouldn't have to always go in a line. It's okay to ask for help. That's a power in asking. But that's a point we got to look at ourselves. Am I being a good steward over my money if every month I have to ask for help, or if I'm going for those people who have prepared for me? And who have prepared for me? Pawn shops, payday loans, title loans, those finance companies that charge 100% interest rate. They have prepared for your rainy day. And funny story, Miss Sandy, I used to work at the second largest cancer center in the world. Now it's the first largest. But back then, I was the youngest on the floor. I was a senior patient account rep. And I was the youngest on the floor. A lot of the people that was on there had started like the year I was born, right?
Wow.
And so I used to go to lunch with these ladies. And one time on our lunch break, we went to Target. And when we went inside the store, I mean, it was a beautiful California, it never rains in California day, right? But by the time we came out, it was a Seattle pouring rain, rainy day. Mm-hmm. And these ladies started whipping out bonnets and ponchos and umbrellas. I was like, whoa, where that came from? How are you getting right? And so I'm like, you know, that's why Walmart sell umbrellas on a sunny day, because it's not raining now, but the rain will come, and be prepared. Mm-hmm. So we have to be prepared. Statistics say we have at least 12 emergencies a year, right? Be prepared. Mm-hmm. Grandmother said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why?
Right,
be
right.
prepared. You know, so Jesus said trials and tribulations will happen, but be of good cheer. Be prepared. So you have to be prepared for when that day will come, because famine is only famine when you're what? Not prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's when those smiling folks at the pawn shop, the title loan, the 100% finance company say, hey, I got you. But then you're in a perpetual cycle. Roundabout she goes, where she stopped, nobody knows. You're in a perpetual cycle of payback, you know, get caught up, emergency, I owe. And then you just in this cycle that you can't break out of. And a lot of people can't get out of those payday loans because they pay millions of dollars to find psychological ways to entrap you. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to break out of the cycle of a payday loan.
Exactly.
And you don't, you know. And so you end up doing other things to break yourself free. But why not implement some systems, a financial system that's going to help you manage your money a little bit better so you can sleep a little bit easier, knowing that you have a system in place that can allow you to manage it, manage the income, restructure
right.
the outgo, and invest the extra. And that investment looks like whatever you want it to look like, you know, investing in education, investing in retirement, you know, investing in a business, buying inventory, creating streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that extra looks like to you, creating memories, traveling, whatever that looks like to you, because big bank will take care of big bank.
Right,
you have
right.
to create a ecosystem, an economy within your own household so you and yours will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, I had an experience with leasing a car right before I moved from Los Angeles here to Atlanta, and I obviously wasn't listening, you know, to the guy when he was explaining to me my options. But the lease, like you were just saying, the lease was more attractive because I didn't need as much outgo to be able to drive it off the lot, right?
Okay.
So I come all the way to Atlanta in the car, it's running well and everything, and so I go down with my little happy self, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to buy the car. And he said, well, okay, well, let's redo the contract. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm at the end of my paying period. Why we got to redo a contract? And he said, well, because you were leasing. That was not a purchase plan that you were on. You were just like kind of renting the car for these last 4 years. And that just really bothered me so much. And I'm
My
like,
Lord.
When I went in, I had an old car because I had kept that car from buying it brand new off the floor, showroom floor. So I went to get this second car, Candy, and they knew that I'm not this frivolous type of person that came in with a brand new car. You know, that car was 15 years old or something. And I just was like, wow, they took advantage of me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always talk to people about that and hopefully that they can see the wisdom. But I've had several people that chose to do it anyway, even though I would talk about it a lot, you know, like don't ever lease a car. And then they come back and they'd be like, oh, I didn't listen to you. And so my payments on my car starting all over again. And I was like, man, that right there is craziness.
Yeah, and that hurts too, but all you could do is share. And I'm from the school that every mistake you learn from does not have to be your own.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm a learn from that. I love to sit at the feet of wisdom. Like, I'm going to sit here. I believe in mentors. I believe in consultation. I believe in coaching. Whether it's free or paid, I don't mind paying for professionals. I had a roofer come and, you know, offer to do my roof. And so for inspection day, I hired another roofing company, the roofing company that's coming to do the work, and the insurance agent had also came out to inspect the roof to see, you know, what needs to be done, if I need a roof or not. And so the one roofing company seen the other roofing company. He said, I thought you said this was going to be a no-compete contract. I said, it won't be a competition if you're speaking the truth. Now, if you're trying to manipulate me or lie to me, your competition is standing right here. So I don't speak roof. I needed an interpreter. So I hired a consultant, a roofing company as a consultant, just to be there as an observer and, you know, listen to him explain to me what needs to take place. And if the conversation was legit, he was going to get the contract. Mm-hmm. If the conversation was not legit, he was not going to get the contract, plain and simple. So we have to value professionals. We have to value when a mentor say, hey, that stove is hot. Don't touch it. You know, we have to value our elders when they're taking the time to speak into our lives, and don't be so in a rush to run off and, you know, and go to the next brunch or party or get together. You know, listen when Big Mama, Sugar Mama, and Medea is saying something to you, because it's you. And sometimes they be having a conversation. It may not all resonate at that one moment in time, but somewhere in your journey, that conversation is going to come back to you. It's going to come from the recesses of the mind to the forefront and say, that's what my mom was talking about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it always makes sense further down the road.
Yes, and boy, aren't you so grateful. You know, even when the Lord speaks to me, and I must admit, I don't always listen. I don't always get that thing right. You know how you say, oh, something told me, or I should have followed my first mind.
Right.
And that's inspiration. That's the Holy Spirit. That's wisdom speaking to you. And I don't always listen, but boy, the times I do, I'm so blessed for it. Oh,
yes,
I'm so blessed. It saved me time. It saved me money. It saved me heartache. You know, it saved years, you know, for my life. Because some of those mistakes, even though we live through it, it takes, you know, us years off course. It changes the trajectory of our destiny, you know, and it takes time to recover and heal whatever impact or consequence that we had to go through by making just not listening, just not, and making the choice that we wanted to make. And half the time it's emotional, you know, just like a lot of times we get into financial trouble because we emotionally placed ourselves there, shock therapy. You know, wanting to make ourselves feel good. True. We're competing, you know, trying to keep up with other people, keep up a facade or a look because of what they say. Anybody ever met they yet? You know, I've been here a few years. You know, they say.
No, ma'am. I don't know who they are. I surely don't.
Exactly. So we don't have to impress them, you know, and also right. with companies. A lot of times, you know, I find people want to be loyal to companies. Oh, I've been with that company for so many years.
Right.
I can't cancel that. Like, those people out on the yacht somewhere, you know, eating caviar, why are you loyal to them? You're loyal to yourself and your family, those you're
right.
responsible
right.
for.
Right.
You're loyal to your household and to your future. Don't let the younger you rob from the older you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where your loyalty lies. So we have to identify those things, you know, that's keeping us where we are and not allowing us to get to that place of abundance like we so desire. You know, like I say, my mom's favorite statement was one day. One day. Man, when she said, I'm like, Mom, can I get that toy? Like, one day. Oh, that was the kiss of death.
Because
I start realizing, one day, not on the calendar. Like, you know, I soon realized one day meant never. Like, yeah, we ain't getting that.
She did it.
She didn't say never. She said one day. She said one day. But, you know, a lot of times we hold on to those one days, too. It sounds like when I win a lottery or
mm-hmm.
when I get my hands on some money.
Yeah.
Are we
yeah.
going to some relatives and let me hold $20? Or it's like you're upset because they didn't give you what they worked for. You're
mm-hmm.
upset because you went to borrow from somebody else to get you out of an emergency, but you can't be upset with them because they prepared.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
are prepared. You know, you have to be upset with the choices that you have made that didn't allow you to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
some of those things we can forecast what's coming up, and we could be prepared for. Some of them things catch us off guard, but that's why you be prepared. Things like an emergency fund, a savings account, you know, just like the Garden of Eden had four rivers that water it. We should at least have four streams, you know, be like a little chipmunk, have your little your nets stored in different places so you could pull from that.
Indeed.
In times when life be lifing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So true. But, you know, and that takes a lot of discipline, though, Candy, you know?
Amen.
We're not taught that, you know?
Right.
And God bless my mother, who's no longer with us either. She was just like, you know, living for the day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it was good, but it really didn't help to learn the value and how to manage. And like what you're talking about, you know, like using your money as wisely as you can so that you're
mm-hmm.
not having to hide from the bill collectors, you know, and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But I believe that all started from the lack and scarcity that was experienced back in the little, you know, small country towns we were talking about before we got on tonight. Candy and
mm-hmm.
I are both, our families are both from the little hick towns in Louisiana. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's so different
mm-hmm.
when you look at that and compare it to, you know, what you have when you come to a larger city like Atlanta or Los Angeles, you know, you'd be
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my God, they got all of this out here, and you want to live the best life possible. So I
mm-hmm.
think that's where we have generated some of these problems for ourselves is we didn't learn that we had to have some structure to our lives And we just took what we knew from the little country towns and tried to make it work in the big city. And it didn't always work that year.
It didn't. And like I was saying with the fear of letting go, the fear of not enough. You know, sometimes we do go through trauma that, you know, makes us look at money differently, and we do have that fear, that scarcity mentality, that fear of not enough, or that what if factor. I remember, like you said, you know, that's that go work in a big city, like that same fear that I had, the fear of letting go, just having the money and not letting it go. I remember doing that with my light bill. I had, you know, I was living in an apartment, and all I had really was like a light bill, phone bill, and I think sewage or something like that. But I wouldn't let my money go for the largest bill. And one day I came home and flipped the light switch on, and you know, okay, the light's still on. I have the money.
Wow.
Not paying it, but holding the money just in case, holding the money, just the scarcity mentality. Come home Monday, light's still on. Tuesday, light's still on. We get to Friday, flip it, 5 p.m., light did not come on.
Oh, wow.
The lights were disconnected. Now you have to wait till Monday to the lights come on, right? So load up myself and my girls, and we head to Drury Inn. So now I'm paying for a hotel room.
Wow.
I'm paying for 3 meals a day for 4 people for the entire weekend, right? So. Then I have to pay the late fee, I have to pay the bill, and I have to pay the reconnection fee.
Wow.
So one bill that probably was $84, not $352, you know, $352 for just not letting go, the scarcity mentality. So some of them habits just won't serve you no more. Some of them habits, you just go have to let it go and replace it for better habits. So what helped me? What helped me for my just-in-case little trauma bond, I would always, and I did that for a while too, I would always have this, I had a Rubbermaid, a 30-gallon Rubbermaid can, and I would have our emergency blankets, a change of clothes, and everything what we needed in case of emergency, and I had cash in an envelope. So that was like my getaway thing. And that's what helped me rest my mind and on like, you're okay. And I have to physically tell myself, you're okay. And a lot of the things that I learned this along the way. I'm telling you this in seconds and just this, you know, podcast. But these were years of, you know, people and mentors coming into my life, my Miss Mary, Mr. Edward, Mr. Latour, people come into my life and said, change this, add this, take away this, don't do that, invest here. And also God inspired me to do a financial diet after reading Psalms 37:21 through 22, the wicked borrow and pay not. And I was like, in my Elizabethan English, I was like, surely not me, Lord. So the first time I ever pulled my credit report, I think I was like 27. So, you know, I didn't even know what a report was. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, these people are telling on me? You know, I was late with my car note like 11 times. I was like, they telling my business? And it wasn't because I didn't have the money, because I didn't want to let it go. I just got it. I just cashed the check. Not somebody else, you know, standing with their hand out. So just the things that I had to learn along the way and what I did, what I learned with those mentors came, because I'm not coming like a financial guru. I'm just coming as a person to simply share what I learned along the way.
Right.
And hopefully it'll make your life just a little bit easier, a little bit better, and get you to places a little bit quicker than I did. you know, because now you can learn from my experiences. So I'm exposing my failures, those things I got right, as well as those things that I got wrong.
Yeah. It's just real interesting because I know people that are spending thrifts, you know, as soon as it come in, they're spending it type of deal, but not, I don't think I've ever been around anyone like what you just explained with not wanting to let it go, although you have it to take care of, you know, of the business, but it makes sense. Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it. And some people may experience that and don't even know what category to put it in, you know?
Yeah, they might be frugal or I only shop from clearance or I only shop from thrift stores or yard sales. You know, they probably label it differently, but it's still that scarcity, fear of not enough. I can't spend that just in case, so I don't buy from the front of the store. I shop from the back of the store. You know, we all label it differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I guess the goal with all of us is just to identify what is what you're doing serving where you desire to be.
And
if not.
The question that you're bringing up is just really thought-provoking, you know, because I'm sitting here like, have I ever done that? You know, why do I do my money, you know? So, but seriously, it's beautiful in order to sit and analyze your own motives and your own movement when it comes to money and why are you doing it that way, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I love how you say that. I love how you say that because, yes, it really does change how you maneuver. It changed, you know, once you identify, oh, you know, I've had clients sit with me and, you know, tears would come up, you know, because we start going to emotional places when we start realizing the why, you know, why we do that. Oh, I do that because, you know, dad said this or mom said this. I do this because, and then when they sit back and like, wow, just like me with the one piece, two piece. You know, I didn't know I maneuvered in the world, you know, feast and famine, you know, abundance and lack. But it wasn't until I heard it from outside of me, from my child.
Right.
And big check, little check. How did you identify that? Where did that come from? I've never said big check, little check, you know, but that was what I was putting out. That's what I downloaded, big check, little check. Maybe I did say, oh, this big check shopping day or this little check shopping day, you know. So, but the truth is that was wrong language and that was the wrong mindset. And now, like you said earlier, you know, I have a grandbaby. What if I didn't change that? Now exactly. She would be the next generation maneuvering in the world, one piece, two piece, big check shopping day, little check shopping day. But now the program that I put in place will allow you to get to a system. You know, that's why they could turn McDonald's over to a 15-year-old. Why? Because they have a system in place. With that system, over a billion served, right? Because it's the system. And once we could get to a system, something that we can, a process that we could do daily, weekly, monthly, we go into that habitual phase and our brain love habits. We do it on autopilot, right? It's something that we don't have to think about because at the beginning, you have to give yourself grace because you're fighting yourself spiritually, physically, habitually. You know, it's really a change that's taking place. So I say, you know, as you grow forward, reward yourself. I like to get the stickers from Dollar Tree. You know, every time I put, I get something right, I put me a little sticker on my calendar. Wow. Wow. Go, girl. Great job.
I love that. So that's why I'm laughing. I'm like, see, that would excite me.
Yes. And I'll be like, I got to get my sticker. sticker. You know, I got to get my sticker. And it sounds so elementary, but it really is something inside of you that responds to a reward. And, every reward doesn't have to be a Birkin bag or a $15 coffee from Starbucks, you know, or some Louis Vuitton shoes. But, you know, I really believe that when we start putting systems in place, we can start getting those things that we said we're going to get, you know, that day when we win the lottery, or one day I'm a traveler there, or that day, or one day. What if tomorrow is today?
Yeah, how about that?
Yes. What if tomorrow is today? If this is the day we identify that a change needs to happen, today we can make that change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I just truly believe that, and that's all I did. So just years on my journey, I just packaged it all up, what Miss Mary said, okay, what Mr. Edward said, okay, what I did, what I got right, what I got wrong, mm-hmm. I put it together, and now I'm sharing it.
Well, that's beautiful, because I, you know, without even looking at the system, but hearing you explain it. And again, you know, what we've been talking about, what you've been explaining for the mm-hmm. show tonight, gives us some things where we can just kind of sit with ourselves for a minute, you know, and tell ourselves the truth about it. But we need the system that you've already developed, because, look, it don't make sense for us to go out and try and recreate a program that Candy has already put into motion, is working for people. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, take
right.
the path from her. Yeah.
Right. And the system, when I first implemented, because I was I was the first test, you know, when I realized what I was doing and what I needed to do, I was able to increase my income, my monthly income by $500. That's $6,000 a year or more that I had at my disposal. I did not get a second job. I didn't sell pizzas. I didn't drive Uber. I just simply managed, restructured, and invested. And that's what I taught other women. I had one young lady. She was able to increase her monthly household income by $300. That was $3,600 more a year that she had at her disposal, not getting a new job, not getting a side hustle, but simply being a good steward of what she already had.
Wow.
I had this one lady, this client from Australia. When we sat down with the program, she realized, she was like, wait a minute, I didn't even know that I had this much income. Because simply we don't really identify what we have, because we're emotionally attached to it, and we just know what we have to do, what we need mm-hmm. to do, what we need to get. But if we simply just apply a system to our cash flow management, we'll know our numbers, and our numbers will empower us. It'll empower us to maneuver just a little bit differently out mm-hmm. there in the world. And we have to create our ecosystem. You know that they're making laws and changing systems every day that
every
affects
day.
The working class. And so, you know, just, and I want to talk to the sandwich generation. You know, we are constantly making sure that, you know, our aging parents are getting their medical care, their medicines, the help that they need, you know. And also we have our college-bound children, you know, we're making sure that they're getting registered and they're getting the things that they need for their dorms and their finances and their books. But what about you? Each day you're waking up, you're nearing retirement. Have you taken the time to prepare for retirement?
Mm.
And sometimes we forget about ourselves because, you know, especially as women, you know, everybody else is a priority, and we have forgotten to put ourselves as a priority on our own list. Right. And like I had one lady who said, I have placed all my children's financial student loan debt on to my credit so they could start fresh in the world.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, that's beautiful. That's loving. That's motherly. But it's not financially astute, because the one thing your child have on you is time.
Mm-hmm.
They would have time to get the career and pay off the student loan debt. You know, your time is fighting against you aging out of your workplace. You have to be prepared for retirement. And while you're prepared for retirement, now you got their 4 years student loan debt on top of your own life debt. So we have to make sure that we're being good stewards of what we have and building that economy, that financial economy within our own households. That's going to benefit us, you know.
Right.
Also, I want to talk to who is these people? Oh, empty nesters, because baby, I don't know if you, I don't know if you all know this part. You know, those tax deductions are good when you have children in your household under the age of 16. But when your children age out, you have to start filing differently. You know, when your child is out of college and you no longer have tax deductions, dependents, you no longer get to file as head of household with dependents. You start filing differently. So, you know, your whole money restructure again. I mean, people have put, this system, this economy has already been put, you know, thought ahead once again and put systems in place on how to take your money once again. So you have to have systems in place that's going to protect you and start asking questions. Like I said, value consultation, value financial advisors, value consultants, value coaches. You don't There's a power in asking, and every question, every answer you need to your question is not going to be free. You're going to have to sit down with financial advisors. You're going to have to sit down with coaches. You're going to have to sit down with somebody who's been there, done that, or who have the answer. You know, find out what's the question you need to ask. Find out the professional that could answer that question, whether it's legal, medical, what have you. Find that professional. Pay for that consultation and get the answers you need so that you're prepared. Famine is
right,
only
right.
Famine when you're not prepared.
Such good advice. I mean, just you got me over here just thinking about a whole bunch of stuff, you know, because we don't have these conversations with one another, you know.
Right.
And a lot of us that are average income earners, you know, like we figure these kind of conversations are only had with those people that's making this big money, you know, kind of like this little money I got, I don't need to be doing nothing but what I'm doing with it, paying my bills and hope there's enough to last me to the end of the month. And so I appreciate you for developing this system where everyone can take advantage of it, you know, learning a new mindset and looking at how we use our money and differently. I know that I've heard to stop saying spend money because it has a whole different energy than sharing your resources. You know, there's a difference with the energy behind those words. And because when you're spending money, it's like it's always going out. It's always going out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sharing your resources, it's like you're blessing the other person as they bless you, you know. So sometimes we have to look at the words that we're using as well. Yeah.
I love that. I had just recently, I had did, a, I think about 2 years ago, I had did a 90-day journey through time, just looking at time. And that's the one thing I was talking about, time, that I was no longer going to say, you know, I was spending my time or wasting my time. I'm going to now invest my time, you know, because we could spend time, waste time, or invest time. And I wanted to look more into investing my time and how was I doing that. And if I was spending it, I wanted to know why. And if I was wasting it, I wanted to know why, wasting it with things like procrastination or hesitation. And so I broke down the reasons why, you know, I procrastinate. And so, yes, I want to upload that on my YouTube page because I want to share that. I had only originally shared that with the single moms in a Facebook group. But, I'll upload that because what you just said, words do matter. And, you know, what comes next? Our actions. Our actions follow our words. And then, you know, that create our character.
So tell us how people can take your course, how they can sign up, how they can contact you, and we can open up for any questions that the audience may have and then continue on with the discussion. But, you know, just to make sure that everyone has a way to contact you and know how to sign up for your course would be most beneficial.
Okay. You can sign up for my course at CandyZenon.com, CandyZenon.com. I am mostly on Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook or follow me on Facebook and also subscribe to my YouTube channel at Candy Zenon on YouTube. But if you're interested in signing up for the course, you could go to CandyZenon.com.
Okay, great. All right. So you guys, if you have any questions that you would like to ask Candy, the call-in number here again is 516-531-9819. And from your device, just hit 1 so that it will alert us you want to speak live on air with us. If you're calling from any other than a phone, you would need to call from a phone in order to participate in a live question or conversation with Ms. Zenon. All right, so we've made that announcement. We can keep rolling if you'd like. You know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were getting ready to say something. I didn't want to stop.
Nah, I sped up.
I got all these notes here. I'm like, all right, look, I'm on the money with this, man. I love it, you know, because that's part of the conversations that we don't have that we should have, and it needs to be as regular as talking about the weather, you know, or what you're going to have for dinner or something. You know, it needs to be regular and not be one of those dreaded conversations, because that's what causes these dysfunctional actions and reactions, behaviors toward money.
Oh, yeah. I know. I understand that. I truly believe that. Like you had said something earlier, it made me think about the Bill Cosby show when Theo said that, oh, I'm just going to be a regular working guy. And then so Bill Cosby had took all of the balance of his money. He was trying to teach him how to, I guess, secure food, shelter, and transportation, how to budget, I guess.
Okay.
And so he handed him a certain amount of money. And then when Theo said, well, I'm just going to be a regular guy. And then so Bill Cosby took all of the money out of his hand. And he said, well, you know, the government comes for the regular people first. And that's just true. You know, a lot of times we feel we don't have enough to have these discussions. But the truth is we should be the first ones to have these discussions, because big banks take care of big banks. You know, Congress make laws every day that helps, you know, bailouts and, you know, corporations, you know, stay afloat. You know, we have to make sure that we stay afloat. So we have to implement those things. And the truth is, I remember when Miss Mary had told me about investing, I had saved $20,000 in a shoebox. And I was like, oh, I didn't know what to do with it other than just save it. And a patient wife had told me that she worked for Edward Jones. And I was like, who's he? You know? And so she told me what the company was about. And I said, oh, I save like $20,000 in a shoebox. And so she said, oh, no, you need to do this and that and that and that. And that fear set in. Why? The fear of the unknown. I didn't know anything about investing and mutual funds, this, that, and the other. And it's okay. You start where you are, but don't be afraid to have the conversations. Fortunately for us today, we have Google and we can learn in the privacy of our own homes. Now, when I showed up in an investment firm, you know, short, black, female, young, then people ignored me. They was like, you know, what you doing here? You know, looking down at me or whatever. And, you know, so, yes, that was uncomfortable. And, you know, truth be told, they're the hired help. So if you don't feel comfortable having a conversation with that person, get you another person. Get you someone. And also go to Google. Go to, back then, I went to the library, and the fortunate, I read books like The Millionaire Next Door, and behind all of those type books, they always had the authors that they read, you know, and so you get that book, and then you get that book, and you read, and you take notes, and you move according to how you feel, because like I said earlier, when you know better, you do better. You know, and you do the better that you know, and you just move a little bit. Now you have things like E-Trade, you know, so you can do things from the comfort of your own home. You have things like YouTube University, you know, you know, so you can learn in the comfort of your own home, because it's kind of like if you're going to the gym and you're feeling overweight and you don't want nobody looking at you work out on the machines. It's kind of like that. You don't want nobody to see you fail, but give yourself permission to start, even if it's just starting a conversation. If you go into a bank and say, hey, I want to make some investments or get some mutual funds or something like that, invest my money. And so a lot of times they don't want to start talking to you unless you have $50,000 to start with, right? Well, that's okay. You have the conversation anyway, because they can't count your money. They just simply having a conversation. And you start getting this knowledge and you start getting aware. And the more information you have, the more empowered you will feel. Then you will start doing things like making investments and getting an E-Trade account and start investing in the things that you simply buy. You know, you simply just go to your pantry or your medicine cabinet and see those things that, you know, you like to buy. So you start finding the tickler symbols and you start where you are, you know, but you have to start somewhere, because guess what? Each time we wake up, which is a blessing, we're getting older, and don't let the older you, the younger you, rob from the older you. While you have your mental faculties, your mobility, your vitality, make sure that you're prepared for the days that things will change. You know, every season comes different. You know, just like I walked into that Target and there was sun shining, and then we came out, it was raining. Yeah. You know, we don't know what the next moment holds, but it's okay if we have an umbrella.
I like that. I like that. Start learning.
Yeah.
I hear you saying, start reading, start asking, start having the conversations with people that can give you the knowledge that you need in order to make informed decisions about how to use your money wisely. I love it because I know for a fact there's not enough of us, you know, that are comfortable enough with our knowledge around money to be able just to have a conversation. But we've got to start. We've got to start being more free and flexible with our thinking in order to have that, you know?
Or we want to keep on
leasing the same car three different times, you know, just throwing money out. That's what it's like to me. But I get what you're saying, though, Candy, and it's such awesome information to start us thinking. Yeah, to start us thinking. Because like you said, you know, if you don't think, you're not going to do anything differently. So,
right.
You know, yeah, when you have information, you can start thinking a new thought. And it's so powerful. Yeah.
I truly believe that, you know, we just going to have to change our process. So do we want to look the part or be the part? You know, do we want to continue buying what we want and begging for what we need with money we ain't got to impress people we don't even like? You know, we got to stop romance and we romance poverty. We romance poverty decisions. We romance poverty behaviors. I used to volunteer at a food bank, and people would come up in BMW SUVs, Lexus, Mercedes Benz, Range. I was the only one with a Toyota. Range Rovers. And so my question is, you know, are these people who just like something free? Or are these people who really just don't have enough to just get a meal? Or who just need a little help until payday? Because a lot of people live from paycheck to paycheck. So do they just, you know, are they just trying to get it to the next payday? Because sometimes it do end. Sometimes something was unexpected. You know, life be life, and for me too. I'm not acting like I'm a water walker because I'm not. I'm exposing my failures, and hopefully that you can see where I failed at and like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like her.
Right.
And now you can learn from, like, hey, this is how I overcame. This is what I did. This is what I implemented. This is what I added. You know, like I was talking earlier to someone, like, okay, I know you want to get your single family home, right? And sometimes we want to flex and we want to host the next family reunion. But what if you purchase a home that's going to start paying you? So find a residential area if it's not a duplex, okay, that you stand in one side, you're renting out the other side. Maybe it's a single-family home unit that have an apartment on top of the garage that you could rent out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's one of those three-level houses with one, a private interest basement that you could rent out the basement. Find a way for your house to always give you an income, that you can make money from your household. And I really feel that once that house is paid over, you could take those keys and pass it over to the next generation. Because each generation shouldn't have to always start off from zero. The generation before us should have learned something, should have empowered us in such a way that we don't always have to start off from zero, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. What did you learn, Mima? What did you learn, Gigi? What did you learn, Grandma, Grandpa? And now I can go a little further, a little faster, avoiding those obstacles. Why? Because Grandma taught me. You know, that little post, that Facebook post, I know that Grandma loves me. I know that Grandma loves me, you know, because my Gigi taught me this, you know. Now when a family come, a little family coming up, you know, you got the husband and wife and a child, you hand over the keys, they live in a dwelling that that's rental-free, mortgage-free. You just have to pay for maintenance. Now you take that money that you would have used for shelter, now you invest in a business, you invest in education, you invest in buying your dream home. And then once you finish with that household, your little family move out, you hand the keys over to the next niece, nephew, cousin, whatever. So so that house, you don't look at that house as a liability. You look at it as an asset, but more in a broader sense. Not in a linear sense, like, oh, you know, this is my home. I'm a flex on, you know, some acres of land, you know, and, oh, they go see my house so big in a cul-de-sac. No, look at it for generational. How can it benefit from generations that's proceeding from your womb? How can it benefit just you? And how can it pay you? You know, I really feel that if you do have a home, look at doing maintenance at least every 2 years. Look at it in three parts: maintenance and function, beautification, and eco-friendly. Every 2 years, you make sure that you invest in your home so it's always marketable, that it's already turnkey ready. If you got to turn over the keys to the next generation, so that way they, like, when you pass on, they like, oh, let's get rid of that old dilapidated house. It's no good for nothing.
Yeah,
so many times, like, that's the only stories I've ever heard. Like, oh, you know, my grandfather had land and, you know, our little hometown, you know, oh, but the house is this or the house is that or it's not livable, this, that, or other. But what if somebody been keeping it up every 2 years? You know, what if, you know, what if, you know, that house is always market ready? What if one family came and added on a sunroom or another room, came and added on a deck, and another one came and added a pool in the backyard? You know, but we always adding to the value of that home, and it's always livable. Everybody could benefit from that.
That's true. That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So we have to just start with what we have and, you know, and get every disposable usage out of that dollar and be a good steward over it. And then you teach the next generation to do that. And now we're changing our story. We're changing our financial story.
Right, right. And that's the work that's before us to do, is to create a different narrative so that we're not just repeating the past, you know. So I'm going to ask you to please give your contact information again and how a person can sign up for your class. We're at, we got like 3 minutes left in the show. If you would do that so that people can make a note of it and not have to rush. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if you would like to reach me, you can reach me on Facebook at Candy Xenon Author, and you can personal message me if you have any questions that you didn't want to come online and ask. I'm more than ready to ask, answer any of your questions that you may have about the course or getting started or one-on-one coaching. If you are interested in the Mindset and Money e-course, it is a self-guided course. It is on demand, so it is on your time. If you're a night owl or if you're an early riser, you can hop online and take the course as needed. It is a 5-week course, about 9 modules. They have some audio and some and a workbook that's assigned. So that is an e-course, and you could get that on my website at CandyXenon.com. That's CandyXenon.com. That's called Mindset and Money. It's on the first page. You could hit enroll today and get started.
Well, thank you for that, and I know that people will take advantage of that. You've given us so much to think about tonight in preparation for taking your class and continuing this process of learning and changing, perhaps, our mindset on money. So just a very appropriate title for this show tonight, and you have provided just exceptional information and a new way to look at things, which is always so important. Gave some healthy examples of what you were talking about. So it made such a huge, huge difference. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate you for doing the work
that you're doing. Yeah, you know, like, you know, we got to bring these subjects up because, like I said, you know, they're not a part of our daily talk. And mm-hmm. I know that for Life, Love, and Wellness, you know, that's what we do. We aim to bring life to these conversations that are a part of our everyday life. However, we whisper about them in the corners and not talk about them out loud. So thank you for coming on and talking out loud.
Thank you, Ms. Sandy.
About money. Yes, ma'am. Money and mindset. So once
thank
again,
you so
guys,
much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Her website is Candy, C-A-N-D-I-E, Zenon, Z like in zebra, E-N-O-N.com. Sign up for the course. Check her out on Facebook. Contact her with any questions that you may have. And let's get financially wise so that we can be financially free. All right. Thank you again, Candy. I love you so much. We'll have you.
Love you too.
With your next breakthrough course, right?
Right.
Thank you again. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.